We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
You know, when I came up with that, I didn't do it thinking I was going to have like three people in the show and it would work out perfectly like that. I'm like, it's just everything happens for a reason, right, guys?
It's fortuitous.
Yeah, it does sound weird though when you're listening to it back when you haven't been on that particular show, that episode, and you hear yourself.
Right.
It's very sort of discombobulating.
Yeah.
You kind of feel really detached from yourself. It's very odd.
That hasn't happened to me yet. But
yeah.
But, well, it's a matter of time.
I went to a couple months that way. So
yeah, that's true too. Like, did I do that?
Yeah. Was I on that show?
Although I have listened back, especially back when John and I were doing chat, and I've listened back and been like, I said, what? Yeah. I frequently forget what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Just it's, whether it, I was, I don't usually forget whether I was there or not.
So. Only after a very heavy night the night before.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing tops the Hey Fred Productions though. Yeah. where have I heard that? Well, hey. our globally known production company.
That's right.
Quotation fingers.
DJ, I think the people that are going to be listening to this, hopefully on Friday, the audio only people.
Yeah.
I don't think they realize just how much this week in particular they are missing out, because the sheer majesty of what you're sporting on your top lip is a sight to behold, Leech.
It's a bit handlebar too.
Yeah,
it comes down to the side. 70s, what kind of movie.
I wasn't sure if it was just the light.
No. Yeah, exactly.
I was like, really looking.
Well, it is Movember, and I've been growing this since September.
It's the 19th of November.
Yeah, exactly. The 19th of November. Yeah, happy birthday. It is doing its job, garnering the comments. Like, what? Like, yeah, I've been, it's like, if you get, you're like, that's all you can do. I love when people say that. I'm trying.
Right. It's not like I can work out for it. Like, I can't train or do anything.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Steve, when you started talking, I was like, I immediately went to our pictures for today. You're like, oh, the shit.
I was looking around today. I was looking at all around, like, what's different?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, what did I do? What do we got here?
Oh, man. No. Yeah. I just want to know, did you deliver the pizza? And if you did, what happened thereafter? And then did you fix the plumbing?
Yeah. Was there payment?
Did they have enough money to pay for the pizza?
or the plumbing? John, you delivered pizzas, right? Yep.
No.
I thought you did. I thought you did down in Dartmouth.
No, never.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, well, I remember.
Well, this week, apparently.
Yeah. I always had the cash, so.
Yeah.
I made sure.
I'm out. Yeah. That's it. It wasn't band camp, John.
Oh, now he's showing us in profile now. Look, see, God. Oh,
for the love
off.
Of God. Wow, this show went so fast. Way too fast.
Yeah. I'm just thinking next week you'll have sort of wax in it. It'll be up like that, kind of twirl it.
Dirk Dastardly. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Oh, no. Man. Right. Should we say hi to everyone in the chat?
Thank you for noticing. Yes, please.
But everyone listening on Friday in the future, do yourselves a favor. Go to YouTube and have a quick look at what Deej is sporting.
There we go.
Look at that. See?
Up close and personal. There you go.
Yeah, there we go. It's there. It's real.
This is not all gray, you know.
So, No. That's the thing. Very cool. Very cool.
There is gray. So, but I'm blonde, so it's hidden well.
Yeah.
So we'll say hi to Mikey, who's in the chat, who was first in at 5:23.
I'm the first. Question mark. He says,
"Yeah, indeed." Well, it's good that he's first, so we can apologize for the oblique references we're making to certain adult movies.
Yeah,
he's having dinner with his kids. Sorry, Mike.
It was oblique right until you named what they were. Nobody knew that.
Okay, I did not say Debbie Does Dallas.
Pizza and plumbing,
you just
really
said the adult part. Like,
You know, it's fine. It's fine. It could be anything that's adult. Then we got TSG's in. Hiya, TSG. He's the local boy, as always. Dom's in. Bonsoir, Dom. Nelson's in. Hey, Nelson. Good to see you. Steve Atts in. Jordan's in. Holger's in. Hi, guys. And we've got Rach, I know, dropped in. Scruffy's in. Greg, the awesome ninja's in. Saying, keep pushing. Is
he? I haven't seen him.
Yeah. So I'm not sure.
Scrolling. There he is. Keep pushing.
Yeah, there he is. And Paul Hertz obviously in as well. So yeah, hi guys. Hello. Yeah. Some very good stuff to talk about tonight.
Yes.
And something not quite so good.
Uh oh. Well, before we get to that, we got something really good.
Oh, cool.
We got a update. Hot off the presses. Here we are.
What's that? Hey, Steve. I mean, John.
Hey,
John,
Steve. Sorry. Say my name. What the hell is that?
Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So hot off the presses. We know, Paul Hurd has donated the, Lawrence of Arabia 4K disc with the, original artwork that he is coming up with, unique or one of a kind artwork. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words today. These what you're seeing on the screen right now is just the examples that he was going to be using to design his, what do you call it? Jewel case artwork. Here we go. This is the rough version.
Ooh, nice.
Boys, look at that.
Yeah,
isn't that nice?
Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, okay. So for the, audio only people, go to YouTube. No, I'm not going to describe it.
Again.
Yeah, exactly. How would you describe that? It's like the German artwork from before, and he transferred it there. And he's got the logo up at the top. It's the 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray case. Lawrence of Arabia translated into English as opposed to the, what is that, German?
Like we're saying,
German. Yeah. So that's the front. Whoops. Sorry about that. That's the front of the case, side view. Yeah, he's going all out. I mean, this looks professional, and it is one of a kind.
DJ, I'm disappointed.
Why?
Because where's the one with our faces on it?
I know.
one that's got – who was the camel?
There's the two camels right there. So.
Yeah. It's like, the camel.
That's me and Deej.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was you and Steve and the donkey was pulling up the rear.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we know who the donkey is, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the back of the case. Inside, here you go.
Mm-hmm. So, man, that looks awesome. It looks very professionally done, yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But the discs Paul's are the actual discs, though, aren't they? Yes. He hasn't done the discs.
Yeah, the discs. I don't think he did anything. Whoops. The discs are the discs. I think they are. I would never put anything past Paul. I'll tell you that right now. I don't remember the discs off the top of my head because I won't. Yeah. Mm. So there's the back of it and then back to the front again. So the spine looks really good. Great job, Paul. And he just texted me and he's like, check your email because we were just getting on the show. And I'm like, okay. And I look and he said in the text, he goes, this is just the rough version. What?
Wow.
Like, can I take that copy, please?
Yeah.
I'll take the rough. But yeah.
So, Paul says, I wish I could change the discs. Oh, there you go. Right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hold on, Paul. Yeah. But still very cool. It is cool. But you know, come on, Paul. You know, I want to be a camel. Or at the very least, I quite like it. You know, either way, I think it'd be quite fun.
Well, I was thinking maybe a monochromatic.
And there is space here, as you said. There is space there. Look, see? There's space for another poster there.
There you go. Yeah, the poster. But I was thinking.
Although, look, if Paul wants to change all the discs, all the ones we own, and put our faces on them, we're not going to complain about those either, are we?
Well, these are one of a kind, right? And it's for the charity. So maybe a little note in the bottom, the Movember hashtag Movember, and on the spine, a monochromatic Brightside logo. Dude, what do you think?
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm there.
And that
I'm
way
there.
You'll know why you did it and what you got. So just a hint, Paul. Sorry, buddy.
I mean, I know you did all this work for free out of the goodness of your own heart, but if you could see your way to doing more work.
Yeah. Well, welcome to our world, right, guys?
Yeah. Like,
you got, I love your show, but, you know, could you do 5 days a week?
Yeah.
There we go. We've got live feedback from Paul here as well.
Ooh, okay. Yep. I'll drop something there.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks, buddy. Man. That's funny. You don't have to. I was just kidding. That's awesome.
No, he does.
No. I love the limited. He's got the limited. He put the whole anniversary 4K digital restoration. He's got all the, like, on top of the original artwork that he created, his original artwork. So great job. Great job. So yeah, that's the latest, edition of prizes that we have. Let me see if I can get to, what we had. What else we're giving away for Movember? So obviously I'll throw that up there, for Ryan Davey. That's an old graphic. He's up over 2,500 last I saw, but please, go to Ryan Davey. Links are all in the show notes. Go to his, site or donate through us through Boxes of Popcorn, which I've gotten more this week. Thank you to everybody. We'll be doing that, you know, at the end of the month, we'll do that with, Eddie, and we'll do the drawing for the, Ava, not Ara, the Ava Cinema Remote. We have two of them to give away, $10 for each raffle, or just, you know, for free. You just let me know you want to be in on it. That gets you one. Every $10 you donate through the month will get you another entry into the cinema remote, one of the cinema remotes, or, and you can see here on the graphics, if you're watching on, if you're listening on Friday, audio only, go to YouTube and for the graphics, but you're seeing a dynamic keypad and, let's go to the SVS, SB1000 Pro. Also, $10 gets you entered into that. And just let me know through email how much you want dedicated to each, and we'll set up the raffles for each of that. Thanks to SVS for that. And then also Eddie's, any $50 automatically just gets you, a 10% discount on Kaleidoscape through Eddie. And these giveaways are all through United States only, unfortunately. So, we forget to mention that earlier. So, but I keep doing that now. So, but yeah, so we've got a few entries already, hoping that it really picks up. We have this week, and then next week's the last show before the end of the month, before Thanksgiving. And then it is the following Tuesday would be the show that we would do after Thanksgiving. Oh, so that would be the Takeover Tuesday where we would do it. So get your entries in. So, all right. How was that, John? Did I do good?
Perfect.
All right.
Smooth.
Thank you. Smooth. There you go. Smooth like butter. All right. Let's see. But yes, in regards to your comments, Steve, I am getting a lot of comments about this, like about my
which
mustache.
Is what it's all about. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it's all about. Whether you make fun of it, you want to compliment me on it, tell me I look ridiculous, tell me I look other things that sound ridiculous, whatever. Last night, the guys in the room, I have like six guys on my hockey team that are firefighters. They're like, hey, you look like a firefighter. I'm like, finally, I always wanted to be one. Thanks.
There is something about it, isn't it? About the East Coast firefighters, police officers, you know, public servants. The mustache thing is very East Coast, isn't it? I remember from when I was there. It is. It's one of those cliches that is accurate.
But they did it in Backdraft. A lot of the guys did it in Backdraft, and that was Chicago. You know, yeah, I think it's I think it's more blue collar, and it's like the East Coast firefighter and like East Coast blue collar, East Coast. It's just that, you know, just like, and when you see me in my frame and you're like, you don't think of me in my frame and go, you think, ooh, he must run fast.
Well, that's a sensible thing to do away from a fire anyway, in fairness.
Right. No, as John knows, the problem is my frame doesn't look like, It should be like run like a gazelle from danger. And no, DJ runs into it and gets his butt kicked. So not so good.
Oh man. No, it's good. I mean, I was sorely tempted to grow one myself, but unfortunately the lawyers have done it before. And they got some lot of telling off from judges and stuff who
really,
you know,
yeah, but even for a cause, though,
well, that's it. Oh yeah. Even really? Some old school judges say, even for a good cause, you know, you must remember where you are. You're in a court of law and you must always be presentable as such.
You can't get a powdered beard and mustache.
No, they won't. They just, yeah, quite. I mean, this has been commented on at times.
Just a peek behind the curtain here. This is a while ago when we were first getting Steve on and we were talking to him. John's like, he's a lawyer. We got to ask him about that wig thing.
About the wig. I remember. I remember you asking. Yeah.
I had to know.
It's like the most interesting thing. You're like, oh my God, we've got inside information on the wig.
Yeah. The hell with the movies and all the other stuff. Exactly. It's like, I want to know about the wig.
Do you really have to do that?
I don't. Yeah. I don't because I'm a solicitor. So
Did you say unfortunately?
Well, I need one, obviously. just don't have one. But it's barristers in the higher courts.
Yeah,
exactly that. So, although we deal with 98% of all criminal cases in the magistrates' court where I am, we don't do that in the magistrates, but the Crown they do. And in the Crown Court, they every now and then they're given a choice. They do a little mini referendum of the barristers and say, do you really want this still? It's all a bit old school and a bit passe. And they love it.
Yeah, so they probably want
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Whereas I couldn't stand it. It would drive me crazy. I just love
the thought of, like, there being a powdered wig store that you can go to.
They are handmade from horse hair.
Yeah.
And they cost thousands.
Oh, I'm sure.
Of course they do.
And they come in little wig tins, and the tins are monogrammed and all that stuff. And so you'll see barristers wandering around with their little tin under their hand, you know.
Right.
It's just nonsense.
You think about it over here, it's a sign of respect too, right? And it's like, oh, I get to wear this. It's like, think over here and what we have, and you'd be like, what other occupation would you be like, I can't wait to grow up and wear a black muumuu. Yeah, big black dresses for me. That's what I want. You're like, but when you call it a robe, a judge's robe, you're like, don't mess with this guy. Like, you know, and it's like, nowhere else in life do you get to wear that and be like, guy coming to fix your plumbing and he walks in a black muumuu. You're like, uh-oh,
right.
I shouldn't have used the yellow pages.
Yeah.
No, the judges here, I mean, just not just the wig. I mean, they are gowned in all kinds of different finery, and it depends on what level of seniority of judge as well. So recorders wear one thing, you know, circuit judges wear something else, and you've got sashes and you've got different, gowns and everything else. It's all nonsense.
But it's history. Like, we don't have anything here. Like, there's nothing here.
Oh, we got history, John. It just ain't good.
We got history.
Yeah, but there's nothing here that, you know, that we still keep those traditions or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's
– Well, yeah. I mean, I get that
– For us, it's cool.
Respectfully. That's what I mean. Yeah. There's definitely an American fascination with the old school kind of way we've done things in the past. But those of us who kind of – rebel against this traditional nonsense when it has modern necessity. And there's a reason I didn't become a barrister, and that's one of them. I just thought it's too much. It's just not me as a person. You talk about blue collar deeds. That's how I feel as a person. I rebel against all that stuff, that kind of finery. And so I just couldn't do it. You know, they'll do a thing where barristers belong to what are called chambers. Chambers are the kind of the office they work out of. And they, you know, you have to sing a special chambers song and all this kind of bollocks. Anyway, that's a low level swear word. It's nonsense. It really is. But I get that you guys are fascinated by it, which I think is both endearing and sweet all at the same time. Yeah. But you know, when you deal with it day to day,
I was going to say, like John said, he's like, we don't have that stuff over here. We don't, I mean, our history is so short, relatively.
Well, speaking, and our institutions are nothing to be proud of.
No, actually, I was going to say the opposite. The reason we don't have any of that is because everybody comes from everywhere. They bring their traditions here. So we have them all, like, you know, like different people from different parts of the world come here and celebrate their traditions here, but it's not a national thing. It's an individual thing. And that's the idea of the melting pot. So like, what, how are we going to have one tradition? Cause the idea of coming here was you don't have to have one.
Right.
So that's our tradition. No traditions, or teach his own.
Yeah. But like I said, and if you guys come over, and John, if you come, I will take you to the Crown Court and you can see all the stuff going on.
Are you
going to
buy me a wig?
Well, you don't need one as much as I do, Deej. If anyone's buying a wig, it's me. So you can wait your turn.
I'll share it. Oh, yeah, exactly. Together.
Oh, man. I tell you, the wife would love it. So I'll take you up on it for sure.
Oh, hey, you come over. You guys can come and see it. And the other thing is they will love it. Okay, so you go up to a barrister here as an American.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll go, oh, look at that. That's incredible. They will fall all over themselves.
Eat it up.
Oh, God, they will love it. Yeah, so, yeah, you won't be short of people willing to talk about it. That's for sure.
That's great.
Knowing many of them as I do.
So, do we want to open with this one?
If we want to start on a low and move high,
absolutely. I heard different. So,
here we go.
I haven't seen it though. So,
oh, okay. I thought you did.
I heard different. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's come in hot, and then we'll. Everything else is uphill from there. Tepid. All right. Here we go.
Okay. So this is
I think that was the very first ever like Steve I don't want to be here. Oh,
tell us how you really feel, Steve.
Yeah, no, it's not that bad.
It's not the fifth element.
People on the audio only right now are like, what?
What is he on about? Okay, so this then is Gladiator 2, the sequel. This time it's personal. It's not got a tagline. It needs one.
Was it in 3D?
Yes. Yeah. This means war. Okay. Ooh. So, Gladiator 2. All right. Now, hopefully we may talk about another film a little bit later that relates to this. But anyway, so Gladiator 2. Now, I personally, as I said on the 25-hour show, I think Gladiator is a masterpiece, the first one, and is for me, and I know this sounds stupid even as I say it, but I still believe it. I think it's one of the best films of the 21st century so far. I love Gladiator in ways that are most unnatural.
No, same. I agree.
And I've seen it many times, and it's beautiful. And again, might talk something similar in a bit. So when I heard there was a sequel coming, I was both excited and a little bit anxious as well, because it doesn't need a sequel. And all of us have heard the rumors over the years of all these kind of fantastical scripts circulating. There was a script that was completed, I am told, by a writer that had Maximus go to hell and then come back from hell to sort of wreak vengeance on ancient Rome. And I just thought that sounded quite good.
Yeah.
That's kind of metal. It's like a sort of gladiator version of the Crow.
It's very, very Greek mythology too.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. You know. Yeah. So anyway, so they've been and gone and over the last 20 years, and now we've got this. So I went to the cinema last Friday to see it, had a horrendous evening in the build up to it. Long story, won't bore you with it. But I get in there, I see it at a decent cinema with the reclining chairs, you know, really nice cinema. Video wise looked, you know, really good. In fact, it almost looked like HFR. It was hyper real, which was interesting because it's not HFR. I did check.
Yeah.
So it's hyper real in terms of how it looked, but the sound was awful. All right. And I need to make that clear. The sound was terrible. It was all front focused. There was no surround sound in this movie in when I saw it. So I have to preface it with that. So it's first viewing, crap audio, but decent video. Okay. And I watched the film.
Can I ask you quick, how is that cinema usually for audio? Do you think it's the cinema or the track that they presented?
No, it's a cinema. It's a cinema.
Okay.
Normally
the
cinema is good. This one, I saw Twisters there.
Oh.
And you know, and I've seen another film since this there as well. And that sounded great. So I think
it's
just
the movie.
No. Oh. It'll be the cinema. It'll be the cinema, DJ. I haven't seen a film in that screen since this, if you know what I mean.
It was, okay.
It's a 12-screen theater. I imagine it'll be the screen. Yeah, but I'm not blaming Gladiatron, because Ridley Scott, if anything else, I mean, you know, you've got to do a sound mix. I mean, okay. So I saw the film, and as it went on and on, I got more and more concerned. This film plays like a theatrical cut of a much longer movie. It felt like Kingdom of Heaven to me. There are multiple times in this film that, as in, you know, when I say Kingdom of Heaven, the theatrical version versus the director's cut, which of course is also by Ridley Scott. Because the problem with this film is multiple times in this movie, sequences build towards emotion, where something happens to a character and another character, and there should be some emotion there. And just as you get into that point, it cuts and moves on to the next thing. And it happens multiple times. And there is a big character death, and I'm obviously not spoiling it. There's a character death in this that should mean a lot to another character. And literally the two walk up to one another and then it cuts away and the character's somewhere else entirely. And it's like, what is going on? And it happens again and again. Now, Ridley Scott has said this is his cut, but he said that before. And we've then had things like Kingdom of Heaven. I mean, you can't watch the theatrical version of Kingdom of Heaven. It makes no sense. The director's cut's fantastic. So I'm only judging this on the theatrical version. It's disappointing, to say the least. And I'm sorry to say, for me, Paul Mescal, who's the guy on the left in that picture there, is no Russell Crowe. I think he's been miscast quite woefully in this. And the action scenes, there's nothing in this that betters the tiger fight in the first one. There's nothing in this that beats the Germania battle scene at the beginning. And there's nothing in this as emotional as the Commodus Maximus fight at the end, because of the personal stakes involved, which there is at no point in this movie are the stakes that personal ever. So it just kind of came and it went, and I was left feeling very flat at the end of it. I am going to buy the 4K disc. I will see it again. I want to see it again. I don't hate it. I just was disappointed by it.
Yeah.
And so I need to, it's one of those things. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Sorry, so Dad.
Exactly. See, isn't it? So I am disappointed by it, and I now know where John Thompson was coming from when he said, I mean, he said it was rubbish. I don't think it's rubbish. I just think it's disappointing, and it's not a patch on the first one. And if
knowing
anything,
John,
if
the way I do, I feel like he's a black and white type of guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
there's no like disappointment. It was disappointed. I'll do it. It's like, if it isn't great, it's rubbish. It's like,
yeah, well, quite.
You know, well, it's also, like, but I like that because he can back it up. He knows what he's talking about. Yeah. And he knows exactly why. He's like, nope, if it ain't great, I don't want it.
Well, he's also got behind the scenes perspectives as well, because he knows all the people involved in this personally. And so I think he knows more than we do about it. So I was disappointed. And if this is a public service, I suppose the idea here is, if I say it's not that great, hopefully you'll go in with adjusted expectations and you might really enjoy it.
Joker, couple ducks. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Follow a duck. Absolutely.
Yeah, follow a duck.
And upset Dom. He's in the chat. He's in the chat. And upset him. He's told us how to say it now.
It's so much easier for me to just make fun of it than try to butcher it.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he tried and failed miserably. It's just easier to fail miserably.
Yeah. Right off the jump.
Like, look, he ain't even trying.
Oh yeah. So nothing makes me more unhappy to report that it wasn't as good as I was hoping it would be. But as I said, I will definitely see it again. It should look very good in 4K. It should sound way better than the cinema that I saw it in, because this one will have some surround speakers, hopefully, on the 4K.
Yeah.
For a movie in which there is a flooded Colosseum, this film didn't float my boat. But anyway, there we go.
Geez. So
digitally, that I swear.
Let's. I think this is going to go along the lines of what John would probably comment on, because he says he's heard otherwise.
Well, I heard it from Jordan.
Of course, our on the scene bright side correspondent, always bringing the positive. Jordan Carpenter comes in with, I personally had a great time with Gladiator 2 on X Plus. I know quite a few people that really enjoyed it as well. You can definitely see the supposed $310 million budget on the screen. And I would say to that, I mean, I agree. I mean, I can see having a good time with it. It sounds even, Steve, like, is it possible that if you did have that great surround experience, maybe you wouldn't have been as disappointed as much because you would have been just that much more engaged? Because it's funny that, like, where everything's across the front of the room, you're saying it didn't have the dynamics around you, and then your comment on the movie as a whole was flat.
Flat.
Which is what the audio was, right? And you see how like that all goes hand in hand. I mean, a great story can be a great story. You're right. But I think a great story on a sequel like Gladiator, you're coming in at a low. I mean, how do you top that? How do you bring another story that's going to equal that? But at the same time, if you can get the full experience, like it sounds like Jordan did, it's probably going to make, and it doesn't even say here, like Jordan's not even saying like it's a great movie. He's like, I had a great time. Right. The overall experience, it sounds like it was a good time. And it's like, you know, it sounds a little bit, even your review, Steve, sounds positive.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't hate it. If that's positive, then that's positive.
There you go.
But and look, I'm sure it will be better second time around because, like I said, it'll definitely be a better experience of that. You know, I have no doubt. But this, but the problems with the structure, the problem with the scenes, the lead actor being entirely inappropriate for the film, really. And again, I spoke to John earlier today, who gave me a very interesting behind the scenes tidbit, but I better not share that. Cause he's been talking to the makeup lady. But I won't say what she said. I'm sure it will be better, but it's just not what it could and hopefully should have been. And I think there were mistakes made in this. If they can fix it with a director's cut, I'm all ears for that. Ridley knows his director's cut. Ridley.
Yeah, Jordan's also, I didn't remember this. He said, says in the introduction, Ridley Scott did for the first Gladiator film, he called the theatrical cut his director's cut, yet he still did the extended cut. So it's, you know, that's hopeful.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. I really do hope that he does because there are some obvious cuts here. There are some obvious scenes that have been edited for whatever reason. And it's to the film's detriment, but there we go. You know, as I said, a lot of people do like it. I'm not, you know, I just call it how I see it.
Steve, not everything can be Transformers, right?
True.
I mean, you can't all come in with a movie like that. So,
or Evil Dead Rise.
Exactly. Thank God not everything can be Evil Dead Rise. Always going to go back to there. A couple of comments here in the chat that I'd like to get to is Michael Doughty, out of Raleigh, North Carolina. I said earlier, good evening from Raleigh, North Carolina. But throwing a little shade my way. He's like, Bruins had a hard time yesterday, didn't they, DJ? He's like, and then he said, two shorthanded goals against y'all. And I was like, I heard about that. I was actually on the ice when they were playing. I played last night. And, I heard about it after the fact. I was like, oh, well, I was like, hey, you can't win them all. But yeah. And then, we have, this is good. Greg, the awesome ninja, Greg, my son-in-law, he grew his, if you saw in the 25 hour chat, he already had his full, nice, full mustache. And he's like, Meg told me I can't wear my long coat due to my stash. Like, you're already creepy enough. So.
And I think what we all know on this show is you don't upset Meg. She will dig your grave.
Oh, yeah. So, do not upset the Meg. That is for sure. It's like, I've gone a few rounds with her. It ain't good. It ain't good. It's like, you know, you get to that point when you're like raising your kids where you're like, they get to, like, you've instilled a little bit of respect/fear early on. And then you get to that point later in life where you go, I wonder when they're going to figure out that there's really nothing I can do to them. And then, like, that was like when she was like 10. I'm screwed. Yeah. Yeah. She'll push some buttons. Greg in the chat. Yes, sir. All right. What do we got?
Do you want to just quickly do the other side to that, DJ? I can do that really quick if you like, just because then we can get those two out of the way.
Where did it go?
Down further, down in the middle.
Oh, right there, right under it. All right.
Do you want to just I'll do it quick just because it gets it. They dovetail then, don't they, otherwise?
Oh, yeah, perfect. All right, cool. Let's do it.
Okay, yeah, sorry, John. Just super quick, we'll just get this out of the way.
Dude, no worries. I'm fine. Okay.
Take a pee break, John.
Yeah, I'll be back.
All right, so this is okay. See, much happier okay this time.
Where is it? I can't even find. There it is.
Up there
I
got it. Yeah, there you are. All right. So this is then Gladiator, that aforementioned movie from 2000. And I watched this.
For those of you just tuning in.
Yeah, for those of you tuning in. Yes, yes. See earlier comments.
I just spit all over my face.
So last Wednesday afternoon, it was my birthday. I had a couple of hours free. Well, actually, no, nearly 3 hours free because you need it for this. I thought, knowing that on the Friday I was going to see Gladiator 2, I sat down and I screened this again in Cinema George for the first time in Cinema George. And this was the extended cut. Hence, there is a little bit at the beginning with Ridley Scott saying this is not his preferred cut, but it is a cut. And I watched this, and this film is still every bit as powerful and fantastic as it has ever been. And it was an absolute pleasure, as it should be on your birthday, to sit and just wallow in this world. It is awesome. It is the first time, though, that I have seen this version in its entirety. I bought it when it came out ages ago. You know, just never had time to sit down with 3 hours to really wallow in it. And of course, this is in 4K DTS X as well. So 4K HDR, the whole works. And DTS X seems to be becoming a rarity these days. So it was nice to have that. It looks stunning. It sounds fantastic. It is as theatrical a mix as you could possibly hope for. It's awesome. And, you know, right from the beginning, when Maximus is running his hands through the wheat, listen for the laughter of the children, which I don't think I had heard before. You can hear laughter moving and echoing in the channels. I just thought it was the wind in his hands through, but it's actually there's laughter, which is new. I hadn't noticed that before. And then you get to the giant battle in Germania. You get the first, listen out for the very first kind of, arena fight where you've got that gladiator with looks to be like a mace where he's swinging it like this and it's in slow motion and right the way around the room and in the overhead you get that whoosh sound right around, which is great. And then you get to obviously the first big fight. You get the tiger fights, the pans of the tigers across the front sound stage and all that kind of stuff. It's awesome. Really good bass. And a fantastic movie. And every time that Hans Zimmer score kicks in, and of course that We Are Free at the end, just fills the room. It's stunning. And if anyone who does not have this disc yet, you know, get it. It'll be available now with the sequel out. Pick it up because it will be cheap. And it is a fantastic, for me, bear in mind, I love the movie. It's a reference disc, audio and video, for a movie that's 24 years old, is absolutely fantastic. And I love this disc. Have you guys got the disc? I assume you have.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen the extended cut though. To be honest with you.
It's not as transformative as the Kingdom of Heaven one is. I mean, that movie, you can't watch the theatrical version of that. But so it's not as transformative, but there are some nice little character beats in it. Especially with Commodus showing what an absolute petty scumbag he is. There are a couple of very nice scenes in this that show that, and also him getting his revenge for them telling him at the beginning that Maximus had died when he hadn't. And so there's a bit of that and stuff, but it's very cool.
I'll take a look, and I'm sure it's on the disc that I have. I just never noticed it.
The 4K disc came with both. Yeah. I mean, they've not done multiple editions, so it's there. And you could choose at the beginning which one you want. It's great. I love watching this. And I had a really great time with it. So highly, highly recommended. Not quite my movie of the week, as we're going to talk about later about that. And I think you guys will know what that is. Deed certainly does. But pretty damn close.
Yeah, I haven't seen this in a while. I've seen the disc. I don't even have it. I just checked. I don't even have it on Kaleidoscape yet. But it is in 4K HDR Vision, Dolby Vision. But DTS, Master Audio 7.1. So it doesn't have DTSX.
I'm surprised they haven't upgraded it. You'd have thought they would have just dropped that in.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like, I got a project because I want to compare because when I've done these comparisons, I did it in Born Identity, and there are plus
as well.
Yep. Yeah. That aren't in DTSX, but are in 7.1 or 5.1. And when we're up mixing it, you're like, sometimes I prefer the 5.1 or 7.1. And if I don't, even if I did, if I said I preferred it, it's a minor difference either way. That if you had to walk from room to room, you might be like, I don't hear anything. I don't hear a difference. You know, you're not, you know, but it's like, if I can AB it really quick and be like, when I did the Atmos verse DTSX with the latest Jurassic Park movie, that's the one that I was like, I don't hear anything. Right. And it's like, when you think you can compare, when you're like, that one's a better one. Oh, that's the one I thought it was. It's the wrong one. It's like, oh, okay. So, but
yeah.
Well, I was like, it doesn't
get them both. Used to, and-
Yeah, Take well, I have, challenge. Yeah, I'll have, yeah, exactly. It's fun to do. It is fun to do. So,
yeah, but it's so cool. Cool. The movie hasn't aged a day. It's really, really good. And actually made me want to then go and rewatch indeed, but the film hasn't. That's the good thing about it. Yeah. I mean, the movie was already several, you know, a couple of thousand years old. But I'm assuming they shot it live.
Yeah, shot it live.
Archival footage. Yeah.
Those Roman cameras were really good.
Yeah. Really captured.
And they all spoke English. And how one of them could speak with an Australian accent, I just do not know. But still, you know, these things happen.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God.
And of course,
Spain. Written,
some of it. What? Well, Malta, Malta is where it was shot. Yeah. All the Colosseum stuff was in Malta.
John, you want to hit this one?
Sure.
All right. Moving on. This was, all right, here we go. What?
All right. So this is the cinematic masterpiece, The New Mutants, 4K disc, Dolby Atmos. I don't know what made me watch this movie this week. I just kind of saw it on the shelf and grabbed it. I know this thing gets a lot of kind of crap and a lot of people don't like it. I personally like this movie quite a bit. I saw it in the theaters. This is the first time watching it at home and watching it on disc. And man, this disc is great. I don't know when the last time you've watched this, but visually and audio wise, this thing is really, really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the audio track on this, the Dolby Atmos, is fantastic. Again, I don't know that I'd go so far as to call it a reference disc, because everything we watch can't be reference anymore. Right. but it is very, very good. Visually, again, the picture quality, the HDR, just really solid disc. And a fun movie. Like I said, I'm kind of sad that this never got a chance to go anywhere. You know, I mean, obviously very troubled production. This thing came out in the midst of all the talk of the sale of Fox to Disney, and was it ever going to come out, and what was going to happen with it? And
it also came out right at COVID too, right? One of the first movies to hit the theater.
2019, I believe it came out in 2019. So that would be,
was it?
I thought it was. Maybe it was 2020. I don't know, but that would be early COVID. You know, that would be right around early COVID.
Yeah.
And so, lots of things went against this movie. But I think it's a lot of fun. And I really wish we would have gotten a chance to see these characters, go. And you know what? Who knows, right? If they can bring, no spoilers, but if they can bring a bunch of characters back in Deadpool versus Wolverine, there's nobody saying they can't bring some of these characters back. I mean, these actors are young enough to still come on and continue to do these roles. Because some of them are very well cast. I mean, Anya Taylor-Joy as Magic, it was great. What's her name? Sansa. It was great. So, Cannonball, they could have done a better job with him probably. Yeah. But I guess it's, you know, if you get one, you're going to get them all, right? Because I don't think they'd recast if they intend to bring these characters back. But anyway, that's all waxing on about things that don't matter. Like I said, if you don't have
this
disc,
show, John.
Well, but I'm just saying,
it's the whole show.
If you have this disc, if you don't have this disc, it's dirt cheap. I mean, just for the, the experience of it is worth the 10 or 11 bucks or whatever it's going to cost you to pick it up. And it's a lot of fun. And like I said, it is a great disc. So
Yeah. Steve at in the chat saying 11/17/2020 is when it came out. So yeah, okay. it was right in the fall when theaters were allowing and people were
right.
Like,
so it was probably one of the
back.
Might have been the first thing I saw going back into
Tenet,
the theater.
I think Tenet was the first. Yeah, and that was in September.
I didn't see
that
year.
Theater, yeah.
It was either this or wasn't.
It was something else.
Didn't Venom
that.
Come out around that
Maybe.
Time as well? Yeah. Maybe Venom was the first movie I went back for, and then this was the second. But I don't know. I don't remember. But yeah, I don't know. So, like I said, it's really fun. For Michael, for $15 on Kaleidoscape, it's worth it. Like I said, it's a great audio video experience. Even if you don't love the movie, like I said, I do, but
it's one of my, HDR test discs.
I would say I love it, but it's great.
Yeah. It's one, like I said, it was one of my HDR test discs.
Really?
And because you know, the opening scene, it's a great push play opening scene too.
Right.
With the explosions, the bear, the entire
really
thing.
It's dark. But,
yep. It's very dark. And the test that I use, this is one of the scenes I've always gone back to. Foundation was a big scene, but this one here in this is, when she hides in the tree. When her dad puts her in the tree, notice that scene there. It's like what I was getting is all blocking around her because it wasn't able to. It's such a like drop off in light from her face to the black that's around her and the shadows that are around her. And it's just.
On the ching ching.
There you go.
Now, if you don't love it. Charge it to DJ.
No, but it's, yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's like the entire movie is like that for HDR. It's a great HDR disc, because of you got brights dropping into deep blacks really quickly. But that opening scene with the flames and everything, explosions. But when she goes in there, it's all around her. It's like anybody listen, if you put this, especially if you have a projector, you'll see it's like, you'll get that blocking around there because it just can't handle it. And it's and this is what I was doing. So I had at the time, I had my Zepedi and I had my Panasonic, right? So the 820 will optimize it for your projector and it'll say, and that would smooth it out. It'd be perfect. It would look great.
Right.
But when you get the full thing through the Zepedi where there's no compensation for that, you're getting full on and it couldn't handle it. It was blocking like crazy. So I was like, how do I solve this? And this was one of the movies. So, but then throughout the movie, the audio, that pool scene later on is insane. I just watched this recently because I was messing with
you?
A couple of weeks. I almost put it in the Halloween show. But yeah, it is a great, great, I mean, there's some echoing, like you said, the echoing, but that pool scene, the horror aspect of this, it's, really, really good movie for what it is, right? Mm-hmm. But the home theater experience really, really elevates it, Steve, doesn't it?
The delivery system has an impact. Who would have thought?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But there's some cool Marvel deep cuts in here too. Yeah. Like if you're really a comic guy, and like I said, I really hope they pull some of this stuff into, you know, whatever they're doing with some of the
whenever
they bring
the
X-Men
mutants,
around.
I was just going to say, John, if you want more on the New Mutants, go to the Bright Side chat and Google New Mutants. I think we did a whole show on it, didn't we?
We might have. Yeah, we might
I think
have.
We did. It was, especially in COVID, we were so desperate for a movie to talk about.
True. We've only got 2 or 3 weeks out of this. But yeah, there's some good Marvel deep cuts that I hope they bring into the X-Men universe whenever they, they bring them around because it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only came to this very late. I saw this. I didn't see it in theaters. I got the 4K disc and I went in with low expectations because of the reviews that I'd read.
Right.
And but I really enjoyed it. I mean, superhero horror movie, it's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I like Multiverse of Madness so much. You know, some of this stuff is just tailor made for horror.
Right.
You know, some of these kind of origin stories are so kind of, creepy and messed up that actually, horror is its natural home. So yeah, I really enjoyed it way more than I thought I was going to. And again, I completely agree with what you say about the audio video. It's great. Yeah. So very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was glad I put it in this week because I never would have just grabbed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or thought, I wouldn't have thought about it if I wasn't just staring at my rack of movies looking for something to watch. When you have a lot of time on your hands, you just kind of stare.
Stare at the rack and just put it in. There you go. All right.
There you go. Not unless you buy me a drink first.
I was going to say, I'm not going there.
Been there, done that. All right. I'm going to open with this one and then I'll build from here. So. Did you do this one, John?
I didn't do it, but I've watched this two months ago whenever it came out.
That's what I mean. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So,
unfortunately.
Netflix film, Netflix original, straight to video, The Union. Four K Dolby Vision Atmos, 1 hour 49 minutes. I'm just reading the graphic that you're looking right there.
PG-13, AD.
Mark Wahlberg,
Halle Berry,
J.K. Simmons, directed by Julian Farina. Like, all right,
add to my list.
It wasn't horrible, but it was like, even like, I'm gonna go like, it wasn't horrible. It was kind of like silly.
It's silly. It wasn't the worst. It's fun.
No, but it wasn't. But even home theater, the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I didn't even think it was very good home theater wise.
No.
Not like
the last one. Because what was the last one he did that we talked about? Family Matters?
Yeah,
no, Family
Matters.
Yeah, the one
where
Plan. Family Plan, right? That was better.
Yeah. No. That was the one where he actually, this is like the exact opposite.
Right.
And that one, he was a secret agent that nobody knew about. And this one, he isn't anybody, but becomes one. And nobody, it was just like, I don't know if he's going through his Rolodex of things to do. And he's like putting his face, all right, let's do something with Halle Berry. Yeah. And even there's a part where like, he's supposed to be from New Jersey. And then he's like, can you do your Boston accent? I'm like, oh, come on. You had to put that in the movie. Like, okay. And it's like, most of the people around the world are going, there was a difference between his Jersey and his Boston. But it was fun. It was okay, but it wasn't one that there was really nothing to write home about home theater wise. Really wasn't awful. Didn't take me out of it, but it wasn't anything that I was just like, oh my God, the HDR or the sound was just amazing. No, it wasn't.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, one way or the other, to be honest with you, when it comes to that. But like Jordan just said, it's a fun watch. You
know? Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's it. So there you go. All right, that's The Union. Avoid it if you must. No.
Just a quick hello, fellas, to the Spoony G.
Yeah,
he says first time catching the show live. Podcast has been great to listen to while I'm remodeling and looking forward to watching movies in my new theater living room. So hey, Spoony G, thanks for dropping in.
Yeah, it's like, don't be a stranger. I like the name Spoony G.
Spoony,
is that the OG of Spooner?
First and last time that he's dropped into
this. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Why do we feel the need to belittle them every time they
don't say anything? They just make fun of you. Oh, geez.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Who wants to go next? I'm dying to hear about that one, but I don't know. What do we got? This one, but I don't think we should.
Oh,
do
yeah,
that
we'll
right
save
away.
That one. Let's save the one.
Yeah, yeah, let's save that.
We'll build
one
to that.
Build to that. Who's up? You're up, Steve. What do you want?
Yeah. Just what have we got? Oh, yeah. Is that, go on. Yeah, absolutely.
You
want to
hit this one?
Yep.
I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, then. So this is a film I mean, you might have heard about. There's been, there's been some mention of it here and there. The 4K.
Only moments ago.
Yes. The 4K UHD Dolby Atmos version of Deadpool and Wolverine. Right. So now, Deej, I'm about to disappoint you and upset you. Just brace yourself. Okay. And I'm glad you're over there.
Time.
So you can't throw anything my way. Yes, indeed. Yeah. So you can't chuck anything at me. So, okay. So on, was it Thursday? Wednesday, Thursday? It might have even been Friday. I don't know. One of the days. I saw on Twitter because Disney put out a thing saying now on Disney Plus, and I was at court and I was having a long day and I had a few minutes spare and I thought, let's just see how it looks on my phone. So on to Disney Plus I went.
Hey,
see,
out.
Told you. Yeah. And he's on his way over.
Yeah, yeah, he's...
Oh, look, oh, there's a knock at the door. Oh, no, no, it's not him. He's gone. He's out. He's done. Come back. Right, there you go. Right.
Hey, John, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, what the hell?
It's got a happy ending, though.
Teach a man to fish, and it just slaps you in the face with a damn fish.
with a bass. Yeah.
Bass.
So.
Billy Bass.
So I go onto my phone. Here we go. And onto Disney Plus, right? And I put it on, and I think, okay. And I've only got an iPhone 14 Pro Max, right? So it's an older one.
Ah, it's an inferior iPhone. It can't get any worse when you're sitting in traffic with the windows down, too.
That too. Yeah, that's it. So I watched it on my phone. I watched about 10 minutes on the phone and thought, actually, this looks quite good. Looks quite decent. It, you know, it's HDR. Looks, you know, it's fine. And I thought, oh, I'll look forward to watching that when I get home then. So I get home. I've got the disc. I bought the disc on the day it came out. Not had a chance to watch it. In goes the disc, and surprisingly, Deej, it was a very different experience at home. Actually, much better.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
somebody should do a show like that.
They should.
It's almost like the delivery system makes it.
Exactly.
Why didn't anyone mention this before?
Exactly. There should be a show for when you're done tweaking your system where you can talk about the delivery system, how well it's tweaked and how good it sounds and looks.
So anyway, so I watched it and oh god, so I've seen it in the cinemas. I've saw and really enjoyed it, albeit I saw it at a midnight showing that didn't begin till nearly 1 a.m. after all the adverts and the bloody trailers. So, but I still enjoyed it even at, you know, up to 3 a.m. So this is now watching it then for the first time at home. Oh, it's so good. It is so, so good. Everybody knows this already, but it was such fun the second time round. And now I was able to spot a few extra things that I'd missed the first time round. Like the plane, trains, and automobiles car is in it. The chest is in it
Hugh
as well,
Jackman.
Which I'd missed. Yeah, well, that there you go. Yeah, it turns out, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is in it. Who knew? And all this sort of stuff. And so I spotted all kinds of things. By the way, the ship from Master and Commander is in it as well, in the void, is in the background.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. So you've got the burnt out car for planes, trains, and automobiles with, by the way, right next to it, the trunk that Del Griff,
I didn't catch that in the theater.
It's right there. When you see it again, you'll spot it this time. And so I saw much more, but I had an absolute blast with it. It's such a fun film. And boy, oh boy, is it easy to watch. You can just kind of just let it run. You haven't got to pay any attention if you don't want to and just really enjoy it. So it's still very, very good. And I'm going to watch this movie on my phone. No, sorry, in the cinema room, ad infinitum over and over again. Now I remember, Deej, when you reviewed the Kaleidoscape version, I remember you saying, I think I remember this rightly. You said it was really, really good, but I don't think you kind of went to reference. I don't think.
Mm-mm. No.
I think the disc is pretty close to being reference. I mean, it looks beautiful. For one, actually to the detriment of some of the special effects here and there, like the bones, you know, the bones that, the adamantium bones at the beginning, as they come across the screen, you can see that they are quite digital and that sort of stuff, but it's razor sharp. and the test of a Deadpool movie is the mask, isn't it? You should be able to see every little stitch mark on mask and all that. And I think in this and on the disc, that is constant. It is razor sharp. Then when you get to the audio as well, the audio on it is fantastic. Now, I ought to say, of course, potential recency bias, because I saw Gladiator 2 on the Friday night, very flat audio, and then watched this on the Saturday, suddenly, you know, surround sound, ahoy.
Yeah.
And so there might be a bit of that as well. But I thought the audio on this was absolutely awesome. Loads of surround sound effects, loads of overhead stuff. The bass was what he'd want. Certainly no Atmos track here. I thought it was pretty damn close to reference. And I thought it was an exceptional disc, of an exceptional movie. I loved watching this again in Cinema George, and it's one of those films. Literally, I could have just hit play again and watched it right through and been just as entertained for a second time. It's awesome. And so whilst we, you know, your and my definition of the word reference is, of course, always open to discuss. I mean, because sometimes it's very fine margins, isn't it? So whether it is or not, that, you know, that's a moot point. But what it is a Disney disc that is very good indeed and should not, I think, fall foul of people going, oh, it's only a, you know, it's not as good as, you know, a base as one of the other films I've seen. I mean, this film is awesome and the experience is awesome. So reference or not is almost immaterial. It's just fantastic. And in fairness, I haven't seen many people saying that the disc isn't, just think it's great. I loved watching this. Again, as I said, I'm going to see it so many times, on, you know, the iPhone, iPad, Flickr book, pop-up book, all that stuff, cassette, VHS.
Yeah. To be fair or whatever, it's when I say something like a reference disc, it would be like, it's more about like the types of scenes that are showing this stuff off, right? So it's like, I agree with you. It's like, I mean, I can't. This is one that actually I wanted to redo because with the Dolby Vision, see what the clarity would be there now, because the Dolby Vision version is like, I want to say it's like 6 gigs more of a download than the regular HDR 10. And that's even, they're into this, if I remember right, they're into the 70s and the disc is 66. So typical, you know, Disney disc is 66. So not that there's going to be a huge difference there, but. I'm like trying to see like these, get that little nitty gritty. But when I'm looking at like a reference, like I just mentioned New Mutants, this movie's way better. I mean, this whole movie is better, both audio and visually than New Mutants, but New Mutants has got that I want to reference every time.
Yeah. Sequence.
If I'm testing something, that's a reference scene for me. Cause I know it's a hard scene to do. And for something to push your system like that. This movie, falls under, kind of like Love and Thunder, like bright, beautiful. Look, I mean, it's one of the, I mean, it's an HDR extravaganza for that. And, but it doesn't, for me, like a reference would be like, does it push the limits of something? Does it make it harder or something like that? Does it test your system to a degree? Or is it like for a reference disc, is it like, I don't know, I'll talk about one in a little bit, but, U571, right? Mm-hmm. That's, you listen to that and it's like from beginning to end, that's a reference. Like, all right, this is going to be, or any Nolan reference audio. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, you might not like Tenet, but oh my God, what it's going to do to your system. Right. So, but yeah, I was going to do that one. 2 weeks ago, ever since I got the Dolby Vision of capability. It's such a great movie too.
Yes.
It's so, and it's fun, right? So you're like, maybe that's why, like, you're not as critical too. You're like, it's just so much fun. Like from that opening scene all the way to the end. Did you pick up on Iris? Did you pick up on Iris?
Yeah.
And how they mixed
that
in?
I did when I saw it the first time, to be fair.
And it goes with the story. And how it's like, the early part of like, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, listeners don't know, Iris from Goo Goo Dolls, which is like from what, late 90s, 99, 90s, 2000, yeah. Something like that.
98, City of Angels was out. So it'll be.
Oh, was it? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I didn't know the movie.
First time we heard it with that, but yeah.
And the opening part where they play it, it's foreshadowing the scene later in the movie where it comes up again. And you're like, and it's just, it's almost like when they play it later in the movie, it's just to get you to go, oh, this is what they were saying at the end. It was really cool. So, and for a movie like this, that's supposed to be fun and funny. It's a comic book movie, comedy. And then they throw a deep cut in like that. You're like, ooh, that kind of hit me. But yeah, always a blast with, I like Ryan Reynolds. John, you're not a huge fan of Ryan Reynolds, right?
No, I am.
Oh, I thought for some reason you were like, oh no, it was Will Smith.
No, that's Will Smith and Will Ferrell.
To be fair, you've always been that. Yeah, I'm not a big Will Ferrell fan either.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I like him. I just I mean, I don't love Ryan Reynolds, but I mean, I like him a lot.
Oh, I love him. I think he's a star.
But he's one of my, one of my favorites. I like him quite a bit.
That's very, very cool indeed. Very, very good. Just guys in the chat, so Michael Doherty, saying, I agree, reference audio on Kaleidoscape. So amazing bass and immersion. I nearly said bass. I've got the fish thing on my head again. And then reference to U571. So, yeah, so Michael then says again, we need a 4K Atmos release of U571. Well, there is a, there's a 4K version over here, which we talked about a while back, which I then compared to the Blu-ray. And that, that is fantastic, track on that. So, you know, well worth it. But there we go. But yeah, so Deadpool Wolverine, great fun, but still not my movie of the week.
Still not.
Coming.
Coming soon. There we go. All right, John, you ready for this?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
All right, so this would be Arcane Season 2, dropped on Netflix over the last two Saturdays. Seems like they're doing three episodes a week for 3 weeks. So the last three will drop this coming Saturday. But yeah, this is Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos, all the stuff you would expect from Netflix. I know you talked about Season 1. Last week, the 4K disc. This is not that, you know, unfortunately, it's not the 4K disc. But it is very good. For a streamer, it's an animated show. So visually it looks fantastic. It's razor sharp. You know, I mean, 4K animated just always looks kind of a cut above, I think anyways. And the audio here is very, very good. Story-wise, I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I don't know quite as much as Season 1, but I am enjoying it a lot. I don't know. I maybe need to watch it again because I'm not quite sure exactly where we are and what's happening with everybody and how we got to where we are. But yeah, if you watched Season 1 and you enjoyed it, this is a no-brainer. You should be watching it. If you didn't, and Steve didn't convince you last week to watch Season 1, I guess I'm here to reinforce the idea that you should because it's awesome. This is based on League of Legends video game for those that don't know, but you don't have to have any knowledge of that. I certainly did not going into this, and it hasn't mattered a bit. So I don't know, Steve. You said are you up to episode six as well? Or? No,
only two. I've only managed to get two in because of Movie of the Week, which took up my last two nights. But yeah, no, this. So I'm two episodes into Season 2, and yes, I waxed lyrical last week about the 4K release of episodes of Season 1. This is not in 4K, of course, is it? It's in HD. It's 1080p.
Oh, true. You're right. I did. I said it was 4K, but it's not.
I had that. When I saw the first series, I thought on Netflix, I thought, oh, it's got to be
4K. Well, because it looks like it.
It does, exactly.
And I mean, the Dolby Vision helps, I guess. But yeah, now that I'm looking at it clearly says HD right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like Terminator Zero. They seem to do this kind of Netflix do that.
Man,
quite a bit.
It looks great.
It does. It does. Yeah. So I'm two episodes in. It does look great. However, I would say even on a tiny 75-inch screen, there is a noticeable difference between the 4K disc and the 4K, the 1080p, sorry. Right. No, I'm doing it now.
Yeah, but isn't one of them the stream, though? Like, there's a noticeable difference between 4K stream and a 4K disc. You know?
Yeah, quite. Well, that's it. There's just the picture stability is noticeably different. There's definitely some shake in the stream that's not on the disc. But that notwithstanding, it is still a fantastic presentation of it. And because it's so stylized, and I now know, by the way, I didn't know last week, the animation style has its own name. It is Fortiche, French. Fortiche is the name of the company that does it, and they actually have the patent on this particular type of animation. It says it at the beginning too. I know, that's how I know. It says Fortiche, designed by Fortiche. So it still looks amazing, and the character design is so good that the animation just brings it out. I really like the audio though. It is in Atmos, So again, it's odd, isn't it? 1080p, but Dolby Atmos, you know, Dolby Vision, but no 4K. It's odd. I just find that weird. But anyway, but it is decent. I mean, at the beginning, first episode, you've got a storm comes rolling in. Yeah. So you've got thunder all in the overheads. In the second episode, there are fireworks, which are going right up and above in the overheads. And there's some really decent surround on this. So I think season two, when it hits disc, should be something very special indeed. I'm really looking forward to seeing the rest of them, and I will, you know, I'm going to devour the rest of this as soon as I can. Cause I think it's great. Did Greg get the set in the end each? Cause I know he was ordering season one.
I don't know if he's got it in yet. I don't know. I know he ordered it right during the show, but I didn't know.
Hopefully it doesn't take 3 years for season two to hit disc, you know?
Man. Yeah. I hope so. I hope not, as it were. Although there's so much coming out at the moment, if it does take 3 years, that'll be fine.
True. Right. Money wise, I'm not buying anything anyway. So it doesn't really matter, but.
But this is a good example of HDR is the most important part, not the 4K. Right. Not the 4K, because especially like Steve, like you said, like on your, I know you were joking, like tiny 75 inch screen. It's like if you put up a 4K screen, like literally like you could see all the pixels, and then you put a 1080p screen and sat in your seat, you wouldn't be able to see the lines. You wouldn't know the difference. But that HDR, that gradation, that high dynamic range is way more important. You can see, your eyes are going to see that regardless of the, you know, the pixels, you know, whatever the resolution of the pixels, that's the most, so the most important part is the HDR. And I think it's nice that Netflix is getting around to this, because they're probably saving a lot of bandwidth by reducing the amount of, you know, pixels, you know, reducing the resolution, but still giving you that HDR.
Yeah. I mean, it does still look really good. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad.
Well, like I said, because I didn't even know.
And I didn't either. As I said, I was surprised, as I think I said last week. And when we talked about season one last year, John, I think we probably said
the same thing.
I was surprised. I got halfway through it and thought, oh, you know, because I was watching it on a smaller screen in the lounge with someone else. And then I was like, oh, let's watch the rest and, you know, in the cinema room, you know, let's go and put that on. And I thought, and I was looking for the 4K streams. Like, well, what the hell? What is it, my system? No, it's just HD. Oh. So there you go. But there we go. Oh, TSG says he's been loaned the discs for season one. Just need to watch it. All right, TSG, let me know what you think about it. But eat, let us know. I think prepare for awesomeness, as I like to say.
All right. I am up next. And this is an old school back. This was interesting.
Ooh. Oh, my buddy.
Yeah. I didn't mean it that way, actually, either. You know, it's kind of funny. So for people on Friday watching this or listening to this, we're talking, the original Men in Black from 1997, starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones. So this one had Dolby Vision. I was like, oh, let me try this one out and see what it is, how it looks. And I want to say, other than a handful of like maybe some darker scenes that had a little bit of grain in them, this disc is like this. It was unreal how good it looked. Like, I was stunned. Men in Black. Mm. I said Men in Black.
Yes. No. It's a Sony. It's a Sony.
Did you say the title?
Sorry. No. It's a Sony title. So it will.
I know. It was, I mean, their suits look, I mean, you could feel like, The you know, the turn on the lapels and stuff, you could feel like it just felt like you could touch the, like it would, everything. But Tommy Lee Jones, I forget the scene. I wanted to stamp it, but I was just so engrossed in the picture quality of this movie from 1997 of all things that I was like, this is insane. But Tommy Lee Jones' face in one of the later scenes in the movie where they had a close up on him and just the, you know, the detail that you got. And then they went to Will Smith and he was clean shaven, but you could still see all the details of their faces and stuff. And with all the special effects, that's one of the things you did notice is like, so they'd have a shot of them talking and then all of a sudden they're going in the conversation that you knew a special effects scene was coming because all of a sudden the entire screen, it changed the tone, right? Mm-hmm. Like it didn't have the same depth of, you know, or the same vibrancy of colors and stuff because now we've got to do something that they couldn't do back in 97. But I'm sure back in 97, it looked great on DVD and Laserdisc. But now when you see that it's not, you know, it's not a Sharpie on a shark, but it is for, I'd say 95% of this movie looks absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. Mm. I don't know. Maybe it's the last time I watched this, I hadn't like upgraded practically everything in my theater. So it's been a while. And now seeing, I was like, I never remember this disc looking this good. It was absolutely stunning. Highly recommend. You got to be able to get this for pretty cheap now, no?
I don't have it, but you probably can. I'll check.
Audio wise, Atmos, it was great. I can't say it was as good as the picture was to me. It wasn't as impressive, but it had great bass. My harmony lit up a few times during the movie, not as much as one we're going to talk about in a little bit. But great surround sound, great overhead usage, in specific scenes that, you know, from the, like you got the ships coming in over later, spoilers, the spaceships in this. But they really, really, really good. I wouldn't say it's a reference disc for sound, maybe because I was so like enamored with the picture, but I would definitely grab this as a disc to check out the full capability of your display because this thing, it pulls it all in. And then I actually kind of do like the fact that some of the scenes go a little bit less because of special effects or it's a darker scene and it wasn't good because then you get to see the actual quality. You'll see that difference and you don't actually get used to that full awesome quality the whole time. And you get that dip and go, oh, okay. And then when it comes back, you're stunned. I'm talking so much. I forgot to change it to, can't see us. There we go.
Yeah.
It's just been the graphic the whole time.
I say, just FYI, the three movie set is $26 on Amazon. So $8 a movie. You can't really get any.
I think you changed the audio, John, too.
Did I?
Yeah. It went from your microphone to probably something else. Sounds like you're in a closet. All of a sudden.
I didn't touch anything, but let me.
I wasn't accusing you.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah. It's not recognizing my mic for some reason. Let me, all right, I'll unplug it. Hold on.
Yeah, no big deal. But yeah, when was the last time you saw this, John? Oh, Steve, sorry.
I've got the 4K disc of this. I've seen it, I mean, not recently, but I have certainly seen it of late. And again, it's a Sony disc. I try and hoover up all the Sony discs I can when the movie's good. And the first one is good. The second one is not good. I only saw that once in the theaters and that was enough for me. And then I've got 1 and 3 in 4K. And I think both are really good. But it looks as though they are, see that? But it looks as though they are, out of print over here.
Better?
Because it's £40. Go on,
say again, John. Same audio. Okay.
Is it better?
Yeah, no, same. Same again, mate. Yeah. And so it has a, it's £40. For the Men in Black single disc. So I'm assuming that's a, you know, an eBay inflated price as it were. But Jordan says, so Men in Black here in the UK, the 4K disc is the only physical release, which has got the uncut 12 rated version. All the rest are the censored PG ones. So there we go. But I think we've got to bring in Mike on this one.
Yeah.
Go.
You automatically get in on that. Any super chats. Automatic. So Michael comes in with a $10 super chat. And he says a bit off topic. And by the way, thanks Mike for the super chat. Mm. Really appreciate it going to Movember. He says a bit off topic, but we'll change it for him. He says there's an amazing Atmos demo scene at the beginning of the second Harry Potter movie where Harry and Dobby are upstairs stomping around in Harry's room. A must see, guys. I remember that scene. It's like we did the Harry Potter movies over on chat with Meg. As a matter of fact, she sat in with us and Dr. Joe. And yeah, that a lot, the whole Harry Potter series has a lot of great, great scenes, demo scenes. Another reference scene, like I talked about earlier with New Mutants, is the first Harry Potter. And the lantern and the, what is it, an owl that's flying in that opening scene or something? But that backdrop, the night sky, the lantern, everything, that's a really tough scene for HDR. But yes, this one here that Michael's talking about is really, really good as well. So, yeah, great. Do you remember those scenes?
Well, how's the mic?
Yeah,
great. Perfect.
Okay, yeah, you're back.
Nailed it.
Right. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure before I started talking.
You're back.
You ask it. Yeah, I mean, I watched all, I've only ever seen these movies on streaming. I don't own the discs of any of the Harry Potter movies, so can't really speak to the quality.
DTSX.
Yeah. I mean, when we were talking about them on chat, it was more story driven than,
yeah,
than it was about the quality of the movies. So,
I on record as only having seen the first one in the cinema, that was more than enough for me. And I have never seen any of the others. And I have, bearing in mind, J.K. Rowling was grew up 2 minutes that way from yeah, here where I live, but literally 2 minutes. But no. The first one was enough for me. It was like root canal surgery. I do not need to see any of the others.
Steve? I like them, but I don't know that.
No, I get
them.
It. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know that I'll buy them now. But
I'm in the minority of one. I know that.
No, you're not, Steve. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. I did not. I saw like,
yeah, DJ didn't really love them.
I didn't love the movies. Right. I was just like, I wasn't into it. But as a home theater experience, because we did it on, like I said, John and I were like, we'll do this on chat. And we brought in Dr. Joe, he does a comic books podcast as well. He loves the series, read the books, knew all this. Meg read the books, loved the series. So we had them.
Yeah, we were
come
just
in.
Tagging along for the, with,
yeah,
for
we were
them,
tagging
really.
Along them and bring, I was bringing the home theater part of it. Yeah. And there is some absolute demo material all the way in every movie, all the way through this series. And there was one, John, what was it? The second to last movie or maybe the third to
last?
Well,
seven,
whatever,
the last movie's Star in two Wars. Parts, right?
Yeah.
So.
Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but there's one scene that is almost like a lightsaber battle. The way it's dark there. I can't remember what they were doing, but it's awesome. It is really, really good. So, yeah, I didn't regret going through that series. And we broke up. We actually never did the last
movie. We didn't, yeah.
No.
We stopped the show.
We never did the last movie, but
we left all our tens of listeners hanging.
Yeah. But when we were doing the second to last movie, part one, Dr. Joe thought we were doing both, and he started throwing spoilers. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, buddy. He goes, oh, my God, I spoiled it.
That's true. I remember that.
So the two topics trending on Twitter right now then are release the air cut and complete Deathly Hallows, please, Brightside Chat. Right.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
Paul Hurt says, okay, this is what I like. We are in a safe space.
Yeah,
I can confess all. And it's supportive. That's what I like to hear. So Paul says, you're not alone, Steve, essentially. So the first Harry Potter is one of only two movies I've seen in the cinema that I wanted to walk out of. Well, that's the thing, Paul. I did. I walked out. I went across the road. I went to a cash point. I balanced my checkbook. That'll tell you how long ago it was. I went back in. The usher was sat on the steps of the theater playing a Game Boy. Again, tells you how long ago it was. And he was very good. Let me mess around on Tetris for a bit. I went back into the screen and there was still another hour to go. It was interminable. So yes, I simply cannot do those movies. And it's not like The Fifth Element because I've seen that and didn't like it. I just have a mental block when it comes to Harry Potter or anything. And I just can't bring myself to see them. There's too much cool stuff out there, but that does not mean that, you know, I get it. People love them. That's fine. Funnily enough, we were in Los Angeles at Man's Chinese Theater when the very first one hit, Philosopher's Stone. I think it was it over there? Sorcerer's Stone or Philosopher's Stone?
Sorcerer's Stone.
And while we were there, while we were outside, there were film crews interviewing, not film crews, news crews interviewing the people because it was the opening weekend. And they were interviewing all the little kids as they came out and they were saying how great it was. And I was just stood there thinking, like, you know, kill me now. But there it is. I just can't do Harry Potter. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. If I like the story more, I probably would, because there's a ton of home theater stuff in there. It is absolutely, it is really, really good. But yeah, it's, I'm with you. I just never really got into it.
The first one put me off so much with the precocious little brat kids. I mean, I appreciate they've grown into good actors, but they were so precocious drama school specials. And there's only so many times I could hear, you know, Hermione or whatever it was. Oh, Hattie. And I'm like, oh God, I want to strangle them all. And it just was not good.
The little kids, Steve.
I know. I get that. And Paul says, he said, I would have walked out, except I thought my friend was enjoying it. Turned out he thought I was enjoying it. We both hated it.
Oh no.
I'd gone as part of quite a large group of friends to see this bloody thing, and they'd all read the books and were all desperate to see it. And so I couldn't just leave. I would have just gone home, but I thought it was a bit rude. So I just left, went to the ATM and, you know, played around with the Game Boy and then went back.
We keep
back
talking like this, guys. We're going to get a Harry Potter poster made of us.
Yeah.
Oh no.
The three of us like,
going on a few. Which one of us is Hermione then? What do we say? Yeah. I'll be Dobby in that case.
Yeah, exactly.
Black hair, you know.
Oh, speaking of that, that was like spoilers. That got spoiled for me on Big Bang Theory.
What's that?
About Dobby.
Oh, yeah.
They spoiled it in Big Bang Theory because he literally says it as part of the story in one of the later seasons. And I had no idea what he was talking about because the way they did it in the movie, I mean, in the show, I don't even know what he's talking about.
Right.
Right. And you're like, what the heck? But then when it happens in the movie, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Cause you see it coming. You're like, oh my God. And it's like, oh, but, so you wanted to go to this one, John?
I'll do mine. Yeah. That way.
Cause I also have this one as well.
I say that way Steve can,
Steve can
bring us home.
Bring the heat.
Yeah.
There we go.
This one can be.
This one brings the heat.
This will be pretty quick.
It will.
It'll be quick because,
well, I'm like, oh.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. So this is Fury, on 4K disc. Again, this was Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. I say it's quick because this is reference. This disc from start to finish is a reference disc. This is unbelievable. Again, I'm probably not breaking new ground with this. No. Everybody knows it. But I had never seen the disc. I've seen this movie. But again, this is a disc that I've owned for quite a while. Never got around to watching it. Pulled it out and watched it this week. And yeah, I mean, I had heard great things about it, but even with that, I was blown away by how good this was. I mean, visually, it's awesome because, you know, again, this is one of those kind of dreary movies. There's no sunshine anywhere, you know, but the picture is razor sharp. The colors, it looks fantastic. And the audio, I mean, these are guns, Steve, you'd probably agree.
Oh, I've got this disc.
It sounds guns. Like, it sound like, but they're guns that sound like guns should sound like, right? Like that's, that's
Steve's jump scares.
Yeah.
There are jump scares in this movie. It's just like the guns go off and you're like, you jump. Yeah. I mean, it's. Yeah.
So, I mean, we could go on, but I could end it there and just say this is a reference disc, picture and sound, and that's it because it's great. There's nothing else that needs to be said.
And it's another Sony disc.
Yeah.
It's another one, you know, it's crazy.
And just a good movie.
Rounds.
Yeah. And just a good movie.
Tank rounds. Yeah. I never knew that could happen. I never knew that was possible until we saw this, you know, that they literally can bounce them.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Or like the sound though of like the ricochets. Like, oh, just bounced off. I didn't know that was a thing, but this was one of the first ones I upgraded to Dolby Vision that I had. And I was like, but I did it because I was like, let me see what I wasn't expecting anything. I was just all right, I'll get the Dolby Vision version as opposed to the HDR. You go into it and I literally was thinking, that's why I mentioned U571 earlier. This is like the tank version of U571. The entire movie is like, you can't wait to get to the next scene, but at the same time, the story of this isn't what you think it is. If you've never seen it, it's not your feel good movie.
It has
a great story arc to it, has a great story, character development, has all of that. I mean, so a great character development. Some of them are only on screen for like 5 minutes. Yeah. And then there's one over there and one over there. It's like,
a piece of them over there.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly tense at times as well.
I mean,
you get large scale room destroying action, but then gets incredibly tense sort of interpersonal scenes. I mean, that breakfast table scene is just like, it just is really hard to watch in exactly the right way.
Well, and I'd forgotten, again, I hadn't seen it in a while. I'd forgotten some of the cast. I mean, we all know Brad Pitt was in it, but, I'd kind of forgotten John Berenthal. You know,
he's great in this.
What's his name? Transformers guy, Shia LaBeouf. Yeah.
Yep.
I'd kind of forgot they were there, and they were great too. Even, I'm bad with names all of a sudden. The Hispanic guy. What's his name? I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
But again, he was awesome. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, really good. The Ant-Man guy. What's his name?
Gosh. Well, he's worked with David Ayer before.
Somebody in chat could help me. That's Michael something,
Pena?
Right?
Michael Pena.
Yeah,
Michael Pena.
Yeah.
That's there you
go. What are these between the two of us?
Yeah, he was really good, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great cast.
Stop throwing darts against the wall, Steve.
like you said, Steve, that scene in particular was super hard to watch.
Well, that tank battle, that first tank battle scene and the tree line. I was like, I don't remember it looking like a laser battle. And
how the tracer rounds, they're
red, green, like different colors. Like, I was like, what the? It was insane. I was like looking at something out of Star Wars, but it was, I mean, just the depth and the vibrancy of those colors and how fast. And they're like, and then to think like, I know, you know this stuff, but when you're seeing it put like, kind of like a platoon type movie, this or, you know, anything that brings like the reality. But then when they tell you like, you have a tracer round, and it's a throwaway comment early in the movie. You have a tracer round every 5 rounds. Right. So it's like, you're seeing them go, and like, there's 4 more in the middle. Just so you know it's there. So it's like an airborne chainsaw, just watching what's going on. And that to me is what really, I hate to say that, use the term, jumped off the screen, was that those tracer rounds and throughout them, whenever, and then every time it happened, I was like, oh my God, here we go again. Looks like lasers. It was insane.
Yeah.
It looked so good. The other part was, Brad Pitt's face and the scarring. And early on in the movie, he's filthy. Right. And you're like, you could see like, all right, I see what they're doing there. They use the filth to create the scarring and stuff. And you're looking at it and like from an artistic point of view, like, how did they do that? Cause that's not what he has on his face. Right. Then later in the movie, you know, if you have seen the movie, if you haven't, whatever, he cleans up.
Right.
The scars, it looks fantastic. I mean, now you see this great clean face, but those scars are perfect and it's there. And it's the detail that you pull out of it is just, I went into this, like, we all love the audio. And like John said, it's a reference from beginning to end. And that's the one where my Harmony remote, it just wouldn't stop. You know, it was like Pacific Rim, like, all right. I had to put it down next to me because it was distracting because it's just lighting up too much. But the picture on this is absolutely just next level. Way more than I thought I was getting when I was like, all right, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost monochromatic at times. It does it deliberately.
Yeah.
This is one where the HDR, other than the tracer round bits where it all comes to life, it's almost like they use the HDR to actually flatten the image to actually remove the color and give you the dynamic range in terms of black and white rather than the ultra sort of color. But yeah, it's such a good film. And another David Ayer movie,
they bring the saturation out of out of it. But if you notice the flames when they go, those things are vibrant, right? Yeah. So, nothing more vibrant than the end, how they use the flames there to distract at the end scene, at the end battle. But even earlier on, the explosions, the depth of color, the vibrancy in there. So it wasn't like they just literally flattened it. It was like like you said, it was dark, dreary, overcast. That was the look you got. And it felt like the whole scene would be like that until you got the tracer rounds, until you got explosions. And now your eyes are like, which to me, that's how you utilize HDR, right? And it's, this was made, was it made before HDR? When was this made? This is 2013, 14?
Yeah, 13?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. But it is just beautifully done, beautifully told, awesome sound. I mean, it's just, I mean, I'd already upgraded it on my Kaleidoscape, but then I saw John put it in. I'm like, well, there we go.
Yep. Time to watch.
Gotta go.
That's a great film. Like, great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. Now, is that it for this week? Is that all we got? I mean,
yeah, they can do.
We're done. So, I mean, we only got 9 minutes left.
Yeah. See, that might not be enough time.
Yeah.
That'll get the title done.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. Right then, brace yourselves, ladies and gents. This is the film someone will have heard of, I'm sure. The Terminator, 1984. Oh. In a brand spanking new, all singing, all dancing, not literally, of course, it's not the musical. 4K, UHD, Dolby Atmos sporting disc. Now, the movie, it's great. We don't need to go into the movie. Let's not waste time on that. We all know that's amazing.
Yeah.
One word, fellas. Wow. There we go. Done. See you next week.
There we go.
It's absolutely the disc you dreamed that Terminator would be. And honestly, guys, Deej in particular, because I know obviously this is your very much your thing, but I know we're same with you, John.
Yeah.
It is transformative. You've never, ever experienced Terminator even close to this before. It's stunning. And probably the best thing I can say about it for me is this looks and sounds like a group of people decided we're going to do a sci-fi movie and we're going to set it in the 80s, but they shot it this week because that's now how it looks and how it sounds. Oh. It is awesome. And right from the very beginning, as soon as that first HK comes over the which always look like very fake skulls because they're only little models on it, they're only tiny. Mm-hmm. But as it comes over, the base on that now is it feels like this ginormous machine, exactly what you'd want it to be. When you get the opening credits, get ready for your room to fill with that music, the music we all love, and it just fills the room and surrounds you with sound. It's like you're in a massive auditorium. And then you get the opening, the battle sequence, obviously, those laser bolts now that, funny enough, you're just talking about laser fire. They now go front left, rear right, front right, rear left. The HKs go right over the top of the screen. It feels it's got the same kind of impact that it has in T2. Because it always sounded a bit fake on the first, not anymore. The Atmos track fixes that entirely. And then the image quality is awesome. The detail levels are off the charts. So you get, and I put some pictures up on Twitter. Anyone wants to go and see it, then, you know, you can see the ones on there. But you talk about, you know, Brad Pitt's face. You talk about Tommy Lee Jones. You can now see every pore on Arnold Schwarzenegger's face. You can see the guy that gets his heart ripped out and dropped on the floor. There's a shot of his face, so you know he's dead. And you can see every little mark on his face. It is fantastic. And in fact, I think this is already an evolution beyond what we got with Aliens and The Abyss. It's a similar process they've used to remaster this, but it is clear to me that this has been done in a different way because this looks better than even Aliens and The Abyss that I personally loved. I thought they looked great. And this is better than that in terms of how they've done it. It is a transformative experience. Buy this, guys. It was £20 here, £19.99. They haven't tried to stiff us with a ridiculous costing release. You've never seen Terminator, guys. You haven't heard it until you've seen this. And I do not say that lightly because I know you're both fans. Deej, I know you're an uber fan of this. Yet you haven't seen the film. All right. And I know it sounds stupid. I promise you haven't seen it yet.
Ironically, it's like, not ironically, but yeah, I just, $24.99 over here.
Yeah, it's $25 on Amazon.
I just grabbed it. It's going to be here Thursday. I keep checking Kaleidoscape because they should be upgrading because it's through the studio, right?
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. So it should be getting, but yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm yeah, not yeah. waiting. I'm not, it's like,
I was saying to someone earlier today, who was asking about it. a friend of mine, and you know, we grew up with the Orion Pictures release logo. You know, the O comes in over the star field and it says Orion Pictures release.
Yeah.
That always looked hokey and flat and kind of, you know, kind of silly, because the movies usually were hokey and flat and silly. Somehow they kind of went hand in glove. But you know this release is going to be good right from the beginning when you see that, because one, the O is bright white. It's not kind of gray like it very often is. And it almost feels as though there is now a three-dimensional separation between the Orion Pictures and the star field behind it. So straight away, I was like,
yeah,
this is going to be good. And then the movie begins. Deej, you are going to, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to love this.
You know what I'm looking forward to is for people out there that have never seen this movie, one of the scenes that always fascinated me, it was long before T2 came out, was that end scene in the Jeep. And then looking at that, I'm hoping, I don't know why, I'm just hoping that I get kind of the same effect we got with Twister, and that you get the ominous clouds in the distance and you get that gradation in the sky and how, but it's like, I've seen that scene so many times as a kid, because not because of the picture and everything. I mean, that is part of it. But that's that part that always just captivated me as a kid, and like that mind, like screwing with your mind where you're like, she says it. She's like, this stuff can drive you crazy. Like, if I don't do this, I don't do that. It's like, it's that loop. Mm-hmm. And it's that to me is what I think that's what made this movie what it is like that it's one thing. It's a it's an epic sci-fi classic. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's that end scene where she summarizes it that I think for a lot of people in the 80s, when you heard that, you were like, wait a minute. If they and like it just baffled you that it and you had to see it again. And now they're going to do a T2 and you start hearing rumors of that in the 80s where we had no internet. Like, you know, that's the whole entire thing to me.
Yeah, the scene at the end is, you will see much more detail in that scene, than before. And it's much warmer as well. It looks really nice. Mm-hmm. When you see the shot of her driving into the storm that's coming, you can see that it's an effect more than you could before. I think it does stand out a little bit more now, but you do get a nice audible kind of rumble of the storm coming, which I hadn't noticed before. That's much more pronounced now in this mix. But the whole thing just looks fantastic. I mean, Cameron's favorite blue colors, you know, his cool blues of a nighttime have metallic, never looked better than it does here. It just looks phenomenal. And okay, the puppet stands out more with the eye, of course. I mean, it's going to, but then when
I did it because I've done this as a standalone. When he takes the X-Acto blade, and he picks it up and he goes to put it in his eye. And when they get closer, you see there's no blade in the handle. Yeah. And it's like, you could see that on the Blu-ray.
Because
you could take that X-Acto blade out. And he's like, he goes to put it in. They're like, there's no knife end on it. Nothing there. Yeah.
I don't think he was about to risk that. Was he going anywhere near his face? But what you do get, so the puppet looks as fake as ever. But then when it cuts to a side reverse shot of him, and then all the pores on his thing, the little bits of hair, you can see the little wispy bits of hair that are down the side of his face. All that is razor sharp. No. I don't think I can oversell this. I mean, this is the movie of the week, because it's just, you've not seen this movie. You've not heard this film until you see this edition of it.
Are we going to have a debate on is this between this and Twister? Which is the bigger upgrade? I gotta see. Let me see it. I'm gonna see it this week for sure.
Yeah.
I wanna debate that because I wanna see which means more, which is like, it is hard. I already have an opinion, but I gotta see this one too. It's like, I'm like, I don't know.
I think where Twister might have the edges in terms of its scale. Because of course,
I'm going to save my opinion for next week. I already have. I'll tell you what I'm thinking right now next week, but I'll tell you, I was like, I have an opinion already. and it's funny because it's like, all right, I'm thinking I'm going to lean one way, but who knows? I don't know.
It's so good.
Let's do that next
week.
It's
so good. Yeah. I can't wait to see what you think of it. Then let me know. Text me because I can't wait until next Tuesday. So you'll have to tell me what you think of it so I know. This is what you always wanted this to be without knowing that it could look and sound this good. It's very, very good indeed.
Oh my God. There we go. Can't wait for Thursday. I got a game. Am I skating late Thursday or early? I can't remember. All right. Either way, I'm getting this in. I'm skating Thursday. I don't remember if it's 8 or 10.
All right. But there we go. Very good. Very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. So yeah, Steve's going to get out of here. I've got to get out of here. I've got a party to get to, a birthday bash, if you will, nice. To get to. Happy birthday again. But yeah. So yeah. Thank you everybody watching, listening. People on Friday, please go to YouTube. A lot of great graphics and a mustache. and mine, because John's always sporting.
Yeah.
So
it's nothing new for me.
Please take a second here for Movember. We've only got 2 weeks left. Give till it hurts. John, why don't you talk it up? You're the money man.
Oh man.
Get people to get. I put you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say.
All right. Bring it next week because this is last right. 2 weeks. Next week's is the last show. But get your entries in. Take a look in the links in the show notes to all the giveaways or the raffles that we're doing, the great artwork that Paul's working on, the remotes that we have available. Two remotes are available, SVS SB 1000 Pro, Kaleidoscape discounts. I mean, people are stepping up for us, and it's like, please, give till it hurts for Movember. We're trying to get Ryan Davies' number way, way up there this year. He's doing a great job on his own, but if the more people I can get involved, the better we are. Yeah. All right. We got to get out of here. Have a great week, everybody. Till next time, you know what you got to do.
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.